Today is July the 24th, 2017, Monday, the day of the Lakeland Housing Authority regular board meeting. The time is now 6 p.m.
Okay, if everyone can join us with the pledge of allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Recognize a moment of silence. Thank you. We do have a quorum. Has everyone had a chance to review the agenda? Okay. And can we have an approval, motion to approve tonight's agenda?
I make a motion that we approve the agenda as written.
Second.
Mr. Chairman, any questions?
Welcome, first of all. And when we had our little discussion, I failed to tell you that when the minutes come up, if you were not here for the meeting in order to comply with Government and Sunshine Rules, you would vote present. Okay? I'm sorry, Mr. Chair. Thank you.
No problem. Any questions, comments, any changes? Okay.
To tonight's agenda?
Yeah. Yes.
I would like to add a section, which I'll be glad to put under new, old, or other, just okay. A topic I like to discuss on consistency.
Okay. Where would you like to put it?
Could be new.
Okay. Then the agenda, he's going to add new business topic consistency. Mm-hmm. So with that changed, then we'll have the agenda approved. Okay.
I can amend my motion.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Amend
the motion to include the
okay.
change.
Okay.
You made the motion.
You second.
I second.
Who made the motion?
All made the motion.
You allowed it. Second the amendment. Okay.
Yep. Seconded, yes.
Okay, so Hall is going to
approve the agenda with the added
change
in the new business.
I second that.
Okay. Roll call.
Commissioner Pimentel.
Aye.
Commissioner Richardson.
Aye.
Commissioner Hall.
Aye.
Commissioner DeCessari.
Aye.
Commissioner Sanders.
Aye.
Commissioner Robinson.
Aye.
And Commissioner Asbury.
Aye.
Okay, the agenda has been approved. We're up to item number 2, swearing in of the new commissioner.
Mr. Asbury, if you wouldn't mind standing and one of my more pleasant duties. And raise your right hand.
Aye.
State your name.
I'm Shelley Asbury.
Do solemnly swear.
Do solemnly swear.
That I will support.
That I will support.
Protect and defend.
Protect and defend.
The Constitution.
The Constitution.
And government of the United States of America.
And government of the United States of America.
Against all enemies.
Against all enemies.
Domestic and foreign.
Domestic and foreign.
And that I will bear true faith.
And that I will bear true faith.
Loyalty.
Loyalty.
And all allegiance to the same.
And all allegiance to the same.
And that I am entitled to hold office.
And that I am entitled to hold office.
Under the Constitution.
Under the Constitution.
That I will abide by all applicable regulations.
That I will abide by all applicable regulations
promulgated by the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development.
Promulgated by the Department of Housing and Urban Development.
And the requirements of the law.
And the requirements of the law
of the state of Florida.
Of the state of Florida.
Including but not limited to.
Including but not limited to.
Chapter 421. Florida statutes.
Florida statutes.
And government in the sunshine.
And government in the sunshine.
And ethics requirements.
And ethics requirements.
And that I will faithfully perform.
And that I will faithfully perform.
All of the duties of the office.
All of the duties of the office.
Of commissioners of the Housing Authority of the City of Lakeland, Florida.
Of the Office of the City Commissioners of Lakeland, Florida.
I'm sorry, I tried to put too much in that.
Of the Office of Commissioners.
Of the Office of Commissioners.
Of the Housing Authority of the City of Lakeland, Florida.
Of the Housing Authority of the City of Lakeland, Florida.
On which I am about to enter.
On which I'm about to enter.
So help me God.
So help me God.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair, you did. You need to put an intermission in that.
I'm telling you.
This sounded a lot longer.
Catch your breath.
Half time.
Yeah, I left it for her to say.
Well, got a notarized, so yeah. Right there.
Okay. Okay, and we're up to item number 3, approval of the minutes of the regular board meeting held Monday, June 19, 2017. Has everyone had a chance to review the minutes? Okay. We have a motion to approve the minutes.
I move we approve the minutes of June 19th.
We have a second. Any questions? Comments? Roll call.
Commissioner Payton.
Wait, wait, wait.
Am
I here?
That's
me.
No.
Oh, I wasn't there last minute.
You almost got that past me.
No? I was moving fast. I think it was. No, I wasn't here, that's right.
So your presence is always felt.
Minutes,
okay,
then I second. Regular board meeting, on the 19th.
Now,
the motion by Hall.
And I'll second it. Now roll call.
Commissioner Pittman-Tell.
Aye.
Commissioner Richardson.
Present.
Commissioner Hall.
Aye.
Commissioner DeCessory.
Aye.
Commissioner Sanders.
Present.
Commissioner Robinson.
Aye.
And Commissioner Asbury.
Present.
Okay, minutes have been approved. We're up to item number 4, public forum. We have a Bridget Hamilton that wishes to speak in regards to the FSS program.
You can stay.
Okay.
Either way,
yes.
Either way.
Okay.
Okay.
No problem.
Okay.
Okay.
Good evening.
Good evening.
So, I just have a couple of concerns dealing with FSS program. Being that I've been on the program for 5 years and I graduated in January of this year, and I never received account balance. My meeting with the coordinator Katrina is not very regular. It's no call, no show on her ends. So I'm just trying to see if by me coming to the meeting, can someone do something about it? Because of me being a client on the program and graduated, I'm due to an escrow, and they tell me I was terminated July 7th, but I graduated in January 2017.
If I may, Mr. Chair.
Go ahead.
And ma'am, you signed the form, so I think you read what our procedure is, but I want to explain it to our commissioner, if you don't mind. Commissioner Asbury, there's a form. I'll make sure you get a copy of it if anyone signs to speak. There's a copy of it, I believe. And what you'll find is when people bring concerns to the board, that the board members will listen to whatever the concerns are. They probably will not be addressed, and the admonition to board members is not to address the issues at the meeting because you've heard what the issue is. This gives staff an opportunity to provide all of you with an explanation as to whatever the response is. It also allows the staff to provide you directly with the response. And the response will be contained in your board package in the next meeting as well as sent to you. The reason why we do that is that sometimes in Commissioner Zeal to be helpful, they react to what they've heard as one side of what has occurred. That doesn't mean that what you're saying isn't
right.
True. But this gives staff an opportunity to provide you with whatever information they have as to what occurred, but assure you that there will be a response to whatever is brought in front of you.
Good writing.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for your time.
Did you get her name?
Yes.
What's her name?
Bridget Hamilton. Okay, thank you. She's getting another form of their...
Yes, Mr. Rudolph. This is not. Where is it? Just Karen. And any other gentleman. Are you going to speak to
him? No, I ain't got nothing. I bet you have this one. Ben. I got to say something.
Well, yeah, I have that paper filled out there. Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Brenda, you said it was going to be two on the same issue?
He said he was waiting on Mr. Rudolph.
No, I couldn't stop.
Okay, but well, he was second.
Okay, no problem. Okay, then. No problem. Then we're going to hear from Myshawn Howard.
Good evening, everyone. My name is Myshawn, and I'm actually here supporting my grandmother. My grandmother was a tenant in Dakota Park Apartments, and she had some issues with the property manager where she wrongfully forced my grandmother to move. And in addition to that, my grandmother lived out there almost 5 years. She qualified for utility checks she never received. And now she's like bad with housing. It's hard for her to get housing because for the last 4 months we lived out there, she wouldn't accept the money orders. We would go to the office. She'll get up from the desk and walk away. And after the fourth month, my grandmother just took her money orders and moved away. So I just wanted to come and be a voice for her in the way that she was mistreated and handled by the property manager out there and how she was wrongfully put out.
May I ask what her name is?
Patricia Howard.
Which property? Which property?
It was on Dakota Park. I think that's Carrollton Place or something.
Okay,
yes. Thank y'all so much.
It's Patricia Howard. It's
yes.
He's my Sean Howard. So
I'm her grandson. I'm still with her living.
So it's a different name on here, but no. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
We're up to the third speaker this evening, Karen Gray.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
3 minutes, I've already made it past. But my thing is, the residents are still coming to me, even though there's no resident advisory board. So they're coming to my door, calling me about the same concerns, utility checks, allowances, not being able to get Mr. Trina on the Family Self-Sufficiency Program. That's a great program to help these residents, and they're not getting the services they need. And I made several calls myself to never get a return. I'm just asking, and I just want to ask this dear lady, I have respect for you, but we really need someone talking for the residents, a voice for the residents. And I had asked you on several occasions when I came, you know, would you be willing to come to the meetings? We really need you as our resident commissioner to help us out with some of these issues and concerns and bring them back to the board so they can be made aware. Are you willing to do that? I know you have a lot of health concerns, ma'am, and I'm thinking perhaps maybe it's kind of past the baton because we really need someone that can help us and carry out these issues for the residents because that is why you're here, to assist us with our concerns. And so, also to see if the funds for the Ross grant, the different grants, I know you awarded another grant here recently, but we're not getting the services that the grant says on the last Ross grant. So these are some concerns that me and myself and some of the residents are continuing to come to me about. You do not have an active resident council at this time. Since I left, it has not been. But it needs to be, as it states on the papers, I showed up this morning for the advisory board meeting. It said 8:30 in the morning. Nobody was here. I waited till 9 or something. So, and nobody bothered to say, well, it was canceled or changed somewhere else or nothing. The lady called around. At least she called Ms. Brenda if you were to ask her. So, I just think that we deserve more respect and we just want to be treated fairly. And there's a lot of concern that my 3 minutes possibly are up.
Okay. Thank you.
I'll just add a couple of things.
Go ahead.
I think the meeting started at 9.
9:10. At 8:30, I didn't see anybody had an emergency with four units that were flooded. So I had to run and then come back. I got here at 9:10, and about five people were waiting for me, but not Mr. Rudolph. So.
Okay. And then also, too, with the Ross Grant, we got our first award in, what, 2 years or 3 years? So, you know, we just started that in January. Or February was it? Yeah, so.
Okay. We can all just have our responses to the board and to the residents who have spoke with their concerns.
Did you get a pay phone here?
I'm sorry?
Did you get a pay phone here?
I have.
That's up to the chair.
I'm sorry?
Just one more thing before I... on that, with the responses, will I get that in writing? Last time, I want to have something showing that you all talked about and you know, resolved it or tried to, and get back with me, because that hadn't happened last time. So I appreciate that.
It will be in writing.
Thank you so much.
It was the last time.
Okay. No problem. Thank you. Then we're up to item number 5, new business, consistency. Good, Mr. Commissioner DeSessa.
Just wanted to bring this topic up. It sort of came to light. Consistency, one topic I came to mind was when we have public forum. I just would like to always, and tonight was very well done, just to make sure we're giving each person the same amount of time, the same opportunity, and you know, I just feel sometimes there's certain people given leeway, and I think we need to treat them all the same. If we're going to have forum, we need to give them more time or less time or the same amount of time, just for consistency purposes. The next topic of consistency is actually one that came to mind. I've been on this board 3 years, and we've always had agendas, and we've always had a spot for the business. And I do remember 4 months ago, I believe the day was, or I brought up a topic on another business, doing it like I had for the previous 3 years. I guess that topic was not a popular topic, and I do know the next meeting we were then told that I incorrectly did it, and the proper rules were to address it either before the meeting or at the beginning, before the meeting or before it. So I will try to always follow the rules the best of my ability if I know about it and make sure that's done. That same meeting, a gentleman was allowed, and I had to bring it up, that why are we changing the agenda if it wasn't approved at approval? And we did correct it at that point. So I understand that's something new. So I'm a team player. I want to make sure everybody knows that. But then I noticed again it happened. And I waited to bring it up at this point because I waited to see if anything was going to be said. Because I brought my agenda. I didn't see it on there. And I waited to the beginning to see if it would be addressed. That at the end of the last meeting, I thought it was a very important topic and that we were direction that it was brought up about the vehicle for the ED. I think the direction at the end of the meeting when we asked for that from the chairman was to go out and get bids on multi-level vehicles and bring to the board back for discussion. Well, this was brought up at the very end. I didn't see anything brought to us presenting any other things. It was just told that we're getting a new Ford Explorer. We can afford it. The payment would be $450 a month. And, I mean, if we're going to be consistent, I did not see that in the minutes. I did not hear that was going to be talked about. And I did not see it was follow direction what the chairman asked for back when it was originally presented for. I think that was also about 4 months ago. And I just want to make sure we're consistently and everybody is treated consistently and there's not people being targeted when they bring up items. That's just the points I wanted to bring across. Just for consistency points, if we're going to address somebody and tell them they did something wrong, we need to address everybody when those opportunities come up. Because we do need to treat everybody fairly and equally. So I appreciate the opportunity to talk. If anybody wants to discuss, we can discuss.
But just a point of clarification. I think
I think the one time that I know that we made an exception for somebody to speak out of order, that was actually by a consensus we did that.
Not at first.
But Don?
We did do that after the fact.
But he asked to speak. He asked to speak, not speak when the form came up, but to speak afterwards, and we gave him approval to sit as a one-time change. The minutes should have reflected that was done on a one-time exception. That wasn't a violation of the rules.
Well, as far as correction, if I'm not mistaken, when the gentleman stood up, I questioned as to how he was able to speak and not speak in the front of the meeting like we normally do, and he spoke at the end of whenever he wanted
but
to.
But if you remember...
I have no problem speaking if I want to if we vote on it.
But if you remember...
And if we do consistency or we talk about it and then we do the same, then we follow through from that point on.
I could be wrong, but I need to go back to the minutes. I believe when it came time for the public forum, he requested to speak at the end. Not at the beginning, the time. And we gave him approval for that one time to speak at the end.
Well, during that meeting?
Yeah, during
that meeting. Not a meeting before that. Mm-hmm. Not a meeting before that. We approved it right then and there.
For a one-time change, because he requested it.
But I think the point I'm bringing to, he proposed it right after we were told about agenda and following the procedure on the agenda.
And it came time, right.
Okay. And then, we can do that. And then I said, excuse me, didn't we just have a discussion about it? Everything has to be approved at the agenda at the beginning or before the meeting starts. Mm-hmm. And then also that's when it said, okay, let's see what we can help them out. Let's do a vote. So, we did do a vote, but after I corrected it.
So your question is that he should have approached before the meeting and has to be added to the agenda and then we vote on it? He couldn't get up when the time came and request an extension? Okay. I believe that's what he did.
Well, I think the point I was just trying to is consistency on, I was addressed because I guess I was out of line by bringing something up under other business. Then 2 minutes after just being told we need to follow the agenda, everything has to be presented at the beginning, also we're granting an exception without a vote at first. Then we did go to a vote. So I'm just trying to be consistent. That's all I'm trying to do.
Well, I think it's I think it's a chicken or the egg. Okay. He can't get on the agenda until we voted the agenda as in when it came to the public forum, he requested. We could have granted and said no.
Okay.
So he was following the agenda.
That's right.
We were following the agenda. He requested, can I get my report later? And we said that's out of order. We said that. And the only way we could do it was for the commission then to give him approval at that time to speak at a later time.
Okay, maybe.
So as far as I'm concerned, that's consistency.
Okay. You remember it differently than I remember it. So.
But, that's actually what occurred because that's what he asked that, I said, it's funny because we just got over speaking about approving the agenda. But then I said, the only way that could happen is if the board gives approval and votes that he can do that. Mm-hmm. Now, understand it. Clearly, it could be no, you can't do it. Yes, you can. So if the board clearly says, no, you can't do it, guess what? He has to speak at the regular. It's by a consensus of the board that he was allowed to do it. Go ahead, Ben. I'm sorry.
And one thing I want to, I've been here 5 years, and one of the things I've seen is that when you have a elected official or a significant community leader who comes to the board to speak, like I've seen have the mayor come here to speak, I've seen city councilmen come here to speak, and on each occasion, the board made an exception because of the position that person had. It wasn't like, say, just a standard person in front of public coming. There's someone, who would like to elect the official. Then when Mr. Brown came, he came in his capacity as a state officer for the NAACP. And that is why the board was willing to make that exception. And so, and again, you all put it to a vote. And I think that, when you have someone with a, significant community leader, whether elected or in some official capacity, you all should be allowed to make those type of exceptions, especially when you put it to a vote.
I agree.
I agree if we put it to the vote. But I don't think we should put elective officials over the people we're supposed to be serving. If someone comes here and says, well, we're not doing our job, how could we put somebody else over that person? And just because he's elected official. I mean,
That's a decision y'all have to
put. Well, I'm not pointing at any one person. I'm just putting it on the floor. Somebody came here about a month ago and said something, and I asked them questions, and I was pretty much stopped because I couldn't ask that person a question. But then someone else can come and ask for permission, and we vote on it, which is good. But it's up to the board feelings at that time as to whether we approve somebody or not, and which is all the people we're supposed to be serving.
I guess I'm not arguing the point, but I'm trying to get some clarification. I think that our role is the same when we had three people present to us today. Mm-hmm. Doesn't change. Mm-hmm. You can't ask them a question. They bring them to here. We get a resolution on it that goes back to them. Mm-hmm. We're not allowed to ask questions.
Okay.
If the mayor comes, when he comes to something, he's the same way. If he asks for an exception to speak early, like what happened with the one that I'm familiar with,
right.
We didn't ask him any questions. He came and said he was in official capacity. He said what he had to say, and he sat down. There was no conversation with us back and forth with him, to my knowledge.
I might be wrong, but I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Commissioner's first.
Oh, is that right? Very good. Yes.
I can wait.
If we are supposed to be working for the people that we're serving, then let's do that. Let's don't say, well, get in line. you got to pass a piece of paper in. One person spoke today, and I asked for the information, and I can't get it. Well, I didn't get it. So I'm thinking about asking that person for the name, but I can't ask them for
the
name.
You can. Don't try.
Oh, that's all.
When
I'm working for
there's person. Something you want after the meeting, we'll give it to you.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, we've always been that way. Everything we have is public record. So.
See, I defer to the legal counsel, but our role is to be able to hear and not get into question and answer when we don't have the answers. We wait for them to supply us with the information that they get and bring it back the next meeting, and that's when we resolve it one way or the other. Not here because I don't know.
You're right. The council has said we're just speaking off the cuff by answering questions initially. But I guess, like you said, I can ask after the meeting the name.
No, I just don't want people to go away with the wrong impression. I thought we were following the rules.
Commissioner? Commissioner Asbury, welcome to the Lakeland House. Something has been said tonight, and I want to make it clear for Commissioner Asbury and for all of you. You commissioners, I can't stop you from asking questions. What I've done is propose, which you accepted, is a orderly way to deal with mm-hmm. public forum. But if you say I can't ask a question, mm-hmm. I don't want people to have the wrong impression. There are no commissioner police. I've been looking for them since 1989. They don't exist. What does exist is your individual integrity. If you adopt rules, you should follow them. That's my feeling. Okay. So let me be clear. I can't stop any of you from doing whatever it is you think you're supposed to do in this capacity. Everything you've talked about tonight about consistency is on tape. So whatever happened, it's clear we go back and listen to what happened. But that is not, I think, what this discussion is about. It's about two things. The first is consistency, and I think I can challenge any of you commissioners to say this is wrong. All of you believe in consistency. Am I correct?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And you need to think about being consistent. The second one is respect. And respect plays into how you deal with each other and how you deal with people who come and speak to you. I'll say to the people who come and speak, the fact that your issue isn't addressed tonight is not a
sign that your issue is not an issue or that we don't respect you. That's why I wanted to take the time to explain to our new commissioner, but also for you to hear. It doesn't mean that you're not heard. And you've been here before, so you know that. It needs to be addressed in an orderly way so you can have an actual answer. Usually, and I'll use your grandmother as an example, I don't know the details, but normally when there's an eviction, we're not going to talk about an eviction. That's a staff issue. It's not a board issue. No, let me finish. But the circumstances surrounding what happened is a board issue. So I'm not saying you shouldn't have brought it up, but the board and you deserve a response to what you brought up. And it's supposed to be in writing to you, because that's why we have a form. We have your address, we have your name, the whole nine yards, and in the board package, so that the board members get the response also. The board package is also a public record. So whatever's in this package is available to anyone upon request. So again, I don't think there's a simple answer to this whole discussion this evening, except to agree on two things. Number one, that we need to have consistency amongst ourselves and with the people who come and address us. And number two, we need to have respect amongst ourselves and for the people who come to address us. Otherwise, I don't think there's an answer other than your own integrity. Thank you for allowing me to wait until you all finish to say that.
We just got started.
Well, and we'll have a longer meeting this evening. Welcome to the board, Commissioner Asman.
It gets better.
Commissioner Accessory, are you finished or?
I just appreciate you giving me the opportunity to speak. I think consistency is something we need to do. And I know some things can't be defined, but I appreciate you giving me the opportunity to just bring my feelings out. That's just a reminder just for each one of us, including myself, to make sure we try to do our utmost to try to be consistent. And I just try to bring a couple examples up that it can happen to anybody.
Thank you, and I appreciate that. Anyone else has any more comments?
You did.
Okay. Now, I always said, and this before, they even set up an email for me, and I've always told residents, any resident who ever wanted to get in touch with me, it's just chairman@thelakelandhousing.org. You can always come up, and people see me outside. Anyone can approach me and talk to me. Sometimes I go to the properties with them. Whenever there's an issue, I do go out to the properties. I've been known to go, but if nothing comes to my attention, nothing comes to me, I don't know. But I do go out, and believe me, a lot of people know me for that reason. I do go out. You know. Okay, then we're up to item number 6, old business, LHA recovery plan update.
The recovery committee met on Thursday, July 19th at 2:30.
Excuse me. If you wouldn't mind, Commissioner Richardson, for the benefit of Commissioner Asbury, could you explain what the recovery committee does, and so she knows what she's here to report on?
Aren't you the one getting paid the big bucks? Why don't you?
We got you here.
You say I don't say enough at the meetings. I'm making up for it tonight.
Click, click, yes. Click, click. You get paid. Go ahead. Leave this man alone.
How many years have we been doing this now?
And nothing changes.
Now, the recovery committee consists of two commissioners, myself and Commissioner Hall. We meet once a month with the executive director to go over a recovery plan that was developed, what, how many years ago? Two and a half years ago. So there were several items that they were out of compliance with, so we had to go. We now convene a meeting every month prior to this meeting to go over the recovery plan. So far, all of the things that were mentioned in the original document have been taken care of, and we're now following up just to make sure every month they stay on track with what's going on. So that's what we do. We review basically the
the different the different things that are going on with different properties, and to make sure they're in conformance. And that's where we, that's what we do. And we usually meet the Thursday before the meeting, and the two of us, Commissioner Hall and I, are the ones that are on that. It's open to any commissioner to come. So if you're available on the third, on the Thursday before the meeting, and you want to know what goes on, feel free to come. Okay. Several commissioners do come to the meeting just to sit in to see how it functions, to be assured that we're doing our job. So, and that's always a good thing. So we did meet on July the 19th, and what happens at that meeting is that the executive director reports to us what's going on with the different properties. We question and making sure everything's okay, and then we bring back a report to the full board. So the full board is at this time, if you have any questions we might have missed, you can certainly talk directly to the if there's any questions, anything I might bring up, it can be talked over at the board meeting. We can resolve it. So this is just a report that can be accepted, modified, or whatever. But that's what we do. Okay.
Thank you. On this last meeting, I called in because I just came back from vacation. I was driving back from Miami, so I called in.
Yeah, he was on the couch.
And our help here also.
Yeah.
So.
And
if I could add, Commissioner, that basically what when we had our discussion, I told you about the forensic audit, the recreation plan, and the recovery plan, and this is the committee that was formed as part of that process.
Okay.
Oh,
fantastic.
Okie doke.
Good.
So, the results of that meeting, there was a disposition application from HUD.
Yes, the demo disposition application has been submitted for Westlake, the property that's across the street, where we plan to do as our next multi-family redevelopment project. And phase one is going to be the 100-unit senior. And we're in the process of getting the various HUD's approval. And one update since that meeting. At the meeting, I told the board that I was advised that HUD was going to require a development proposal before they would approve the demo disposition application,
right,
which is unusual. And I requested a copy where that was like either in a PIH notice or, you know, how HUD would choose to notify housing authorities. And I was told that, that's not a requirement anymore. It's still a separate process, and it won't hold up the approval of the disposition application, which we hope to receive sometime in the next couple of weeks or so.
And
we'll still do a development proposal, which outlines the project.
So the development proposal is required, then I looked at the financials, the final numbers of the financing, and then there'll be a resolution brought to the board, correct?
Tonight, yes, for the substantive layer review, which is we're going to end the first phase with 100-unit seniors. We propose having 80 project-based vouchers. And what that is a Section 8 voucher, but it stays with the unit as opposed to going with the resident when the resident leaves and they go where they want to go to. These particular vouchers stay at the property. You have to get HUD approval for that. We had to go through a procurement process where you issue the RFP. And because it was a house authority project, we could not be the reviewer. So we had to have an independent third party, which was the City of Lakeland. They reviewed all the responses, and then they make a recommendation for an award. And then that recommendation has to be approved by the HUD field office in Jacksonville. And we got that last month. And now, and then the next step would be to go through another review process with HUD to make sure that your vouchers can be supported by the project, enough money, blah, blah, blah. And it's called a subsidy layering review, and subsidy being the Section 8 voucher funds, which help with the rent. And part of that subsidy layering review process, the board has to basically say that it's okay to provide subsidy for that particular project. And you do that in the form of a resolution, which is being presented tonight.
And then the Williamstown project, I don't know if you're familiar with where that's located, the Williamstown
yes.
project, okay, they cleared that out. So does it impact with your waiver?
Yeah, with that project, it's 40 units of senior housing. And how Tony Hilton developer, we provide all of the funding for it through Hope 6 and RGF Fund, basically public housing funds. And to help with this, we request certain waivers from the city and the county. They're called impact fee waivers on, like, for the infrastructure costs. And we did a request to the county for $133,000, and they were very, very gracious. And they awarded us $240,000 in impact fee waivers. And now we have
city fees.
Right, now we have submitted an application to the city requesting an impact fee waiver. Originally, we asked for $535,000. That included $100,000+ with the water fees. They said, we don't waive water. So we requested about
$400,000.
We
don't need water.
Yeah,
come on.
Don't waive the water.
You don't need water.
So the Williamstown project.
They got to pay for it.
Williamstown project is moving along. If you go to Sam's and coming up the back way, you'll see the work that's being done there.
Yeah.
And then there's on the tax credits that we're looking for to be done.
Right.
Either 10th Street or Auburn Manor, we thought that we would go with.
Oh, with that one. Okay, with that. Basically, there's an investor that is looking to provide about $10 to $20 million in a bond for how I'm going to do some affordable housing. And they sent a letter of interest, a letter of intent, where they want to document that they were willing to provide those funds. You just have to come up with a project that they can partially fund. And this is the letter that they sent me. I went ahead and signed it. Because basically, we're not issuing out any money, so there's no procurement issues.
I'm a little worried about something. This says confidential, but you just made it part of the board package.
What is it?
It says it all the time. Are you willing to give it all back?
And Gilmore will tell you, the moment it is emailed to me, it is no longer confidential.
It's no longer confidential.
Yeah. So, I just passed it out so that in a period of full disclosure, which I'm sure Mr. Sussery will appreciate, keep the board informed.
Consistently.
Right. And basically, we just have to create a project. We're looking at properties that we already own, vacant properties. The church, we have 10 acres. And ultimately, we have 17 acres because, as you may recall, we tried to purchase a property at Cambridge Cove, but that fell through for various reasons. And so we've been looking around, and there really is not a comparable project to Cambridge Cove at this time. And then the properties that is available, they're all like vacant earth roads.
Right.
So you have to put in infrastructure, all those types of things. And so I say, well, might be better well spent if we went in and developed on the property that we currently own. And we also will be trying to get some tax credits. We would prefer to get 9%. And we'll probably use one of our own call funding advisors to help us work on the application for the 9% tax credits. And as you know, previously that's been on a lottery system. So no matter how good your application may be, if you get the wrong lottery number, you're just out of luck. And so, but just like with Westlake, if you don't get 9%, you can always go to 4%, which is the bond.
Yeah.
And we would need either the 4% or 9% in combination with these private funds in order to make the deal work. And basically, the deal works if we can afford to pay the private loan back out of the rents that we'll be charging. And so that's what we're going to be working on with me, my staff, and I have been further about over the next 3 months.
Do we have a deadline on this?
There's no deadline per se. With that, it's just like with the Westlake. We'll want to have, like I said, some public housing and our Section 8 in the deal, we would have to go through a mixed financial industry closing with HUD. And so whenever HUD is involved, it's hurry up and wait. And so it's several months. And so this will be first quarter of next year at the earliest.
Okay.
Because the tax credit applications are due in December. And they probably won't make an award until, like, say, in January. And so, and then once you do that, that's when you'll start putting everything together for the mid-financial evidentiary closing. And we may or may not get another partner as well, depending upon what the financing looks like.
So. Then that'll be set up just like we're doing now with managing of properties.
Oh, we're going to manage it now.
Okay, that's the same setup.
Yeah, that's not a...
Not a question.
Yeah, okay. No question. Okay. Because that's how we, as Holland thought, that's part of our plan to recover.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Is that we want to do development as well as management so mm-hmm. that we can collect fees. Mm-hmm. Because as HUD is asking you to be more creative mm-hmm. with how you obtain funds, don't necessarily depend upon HUD, because we're still trying to figure out what your president is going to do with his budget. And so we're just trying to be consistent and well and look for ways to form qualified funders. Because what I've heard, because I did have a meeting with the senior legislative aide for Congressman Dennis Ross, and he has indicated that one thing they're going to be looking for is public-private partnerships mm-hmm. whereby mm-hmm. you can do affordable housing. And that is what we're doing. So we should be in good shape. Right. However, well, you know, we always use the money in the budget, but you know, from HUD. But we got to do what we got to do to basically provide more affordable housing. Because Commissioner Ashbury, one of the statistics that faces the housing authority is that here in Lakeland, for every 10 families that needs affordable housing, there's only 3 units of affordable housing. And so we definitely need to build more affordable housing in Lakeland.
Okay. And then we reviewed the housing and operations. We again.
We got a question.
I was just going to ask, where's Global Wild Up? I didn't see their address anywhere out here.
Atlanta.
Okay. Thank you. I just was looking for where they were from.
Yeah, they're definitely not local.
Yeah. Okay. I didn't know they were local.
No, this kind of money.
If you know someone who can offer a better deal, then
No. I just was looking for their address somewhere on the document, and I didn't see it. So I didn't know if they were local or if they were, doesn't matter as long as their money's good.
Yeah, they're out of Atlanta.
As long as
the
money's there.
That's it. Yeah.
Got to get it for the truck.
And then we're high performance again on the housing and operations, so... We've got a high score on that. And then the FDS approval is due in September. Is that correct?
Yes. That is where, with the recovery plan, as again, Commissioner Ashbury, I said that there was some debt that was accumulated through the due funds. And right now it's about, 2.5, 2.8 million down from 5. And with the FDS submittal, we kind of wrote that off because on the advice of our financial advisor, because he was saying that John thought it never had $3 million to loan to public housing. And so far, so good. HUD hasn't raised any objections. And because our position was that if they approved just a portion of it, half of it, we'll take whatever they're willing to approve. But so far, we have not gotten a rejection on any of what we submitted. So, and if that holds true, that will be wiped out.
We should have an answer sometime in September.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that'll take care of that.
Would, thank you, Jesus. Keep praying.
The final conversion of our accounting package, Yadi, is now complete. We have all the components.
Yes, and as you both are glad to hear, this converter is a whole lot smoother than the one to with emphasis. And as a matter of fact, this board report was done using the financials were done using the new Yardi upgrade and everything. And there's still some kinks that we got to work out, but hey, they are very minor compared to what we went through the last time.
Good.
So.
And so that's
good news.
That's good news, in fact, because that accounting package was really a problem. Then we had the 10th anniversary of Youth Build USA. That went off well.
Yes, we had the John Valverde.
John Valverde.
Out of Youth Build USA. He's the CEO for Youth Build for the whole nation. He's just the second CEO in the last 30 years.
Wow.
He's been there about 6 months.
Yeah, Dorothy Stolman was
Long time.
I remember her from way back. So.
Yeah.
But so our Beautiful program is doing well.
Yes.
And the 10th anniversary was a celebration, was a success.
Yeah.
And other than that, that's about all we have to recover. Anybody else have any questions for the executive director?
And I just want to add a couple of things to that. If you look at the report, there's a couple of letters that are attached to the report.
Yeah, there's a resolution.
No, not the resolution. One is with the Federal Loan Bank for Phase 1, we were able to get a $1.2 million award. And so what that did is it helped us with the funding gap on Phase 1, because as you may recall,
yep,
the auditor had originally proposed a $765,000 loan to Phase 1. Okay, but since we got the $1.2 million, the developer has requested that we move that loan from the auditor to Phase 2.
Phase 2.
And I'll show you the letter whereby we donate that $1.2 million to the project as the first letter, and then the second letter is where we move that $790,000 from Phase 1 to Phase 2. Okay. And then also the developer is going to be going to another Federal Home Loan Bank grant for Phase 2 as well. This one, the one for Phase 1 was awarded out of the Federal Loan Bank in San Francisco. One for Phase 2, they're applying in Cincinnati.
Okay. Okay, so that's an update.
Yeah.
All right. That concludes the report on the recovery.
Thank you.
Very good.
Awesome. I thought we were going to start, we were going to change the name of the recovery plan committee to the sustainability committee. What happened with that?
Because we want to wait to see what happens with the FDS.
Okay.
Okay. And then, you know, I got kind of busy with these construction projects starting. So I had to put that back.
So once we hear from FDS, then we can change it over to sustainability.
Right, exactly.
Because we've been out of recovery a long time ago.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. The only thing we had to do was, like I said, work with the debt, and they got to be gone. And so, and basically, the sustainability plan is just what is the strategy for maintaining,
yep,
what we've been doing. So.
Okay.
And that is an ad hoc committee, correct? So I guess at
yes,
one time
right,
you could always look at, once you're in a financial position, you
I'm
can always
just waiting for them to dissolve it.
No, I mean, I'm just saying that's always an option.
Yes.
Once you,
yes.
Because we've been, must have been almost 2 years we've been doing
that. And actually, staff kind of likes that, because
yeah,
we get to share financials, you know, with the committee,
right,
for the board prior to the meeting.
Mm-hmm.
And so they can ask questions that you all would ask, so
right,
that and if there's something that we, some response we haven't provided, we can make those changes and have that included with the board packet. And it's also the committee has actually been very, very helpful for staff.
Yep.
I don't know about
I think a similar is reflecting like the financial committee used to be before it was just made. Right. It sort of would give you opportunity to sort of precursor some things. So.
Yeah, we don't mind doing it. We do review the financials. We go over the financials at that meeting as well as any upcoming
resolutions.
We review those too.
Very good. Yeah.
Anything you need to add, Commissioner Hall? Okay. Then we're up to item number 7, the Secretary's Report.
Submitted as written.
Question.
The Secretary's Report and the Recovery Plan basically contain the same information in two different formats. And so.
Any questions, comments? Housing and Operations.
Valerie is out, turned into a family matter. And so. I'm sorry. That's not housing. That's college.
That's housing. You see.
Okay. I'm
sorry. Hey, I'm good.
Keep going.
Go ahead, Carlos.
Commissioner Richardson said, we score high performer for public housing on Section 8 3 years in a row. So this is the third year. We scored a 92 for public housing, which is pretty good. It's not perfect. We still have to do some adjustments and better some of the services to the residents. But with the staff that we have, we're trying to do everything that we can.
There was an error on the third page of the Recovery Plan Review Committee memo. And all this is just a name for the new community. It was in the wrong place, and I just corrected it. So I just passed out that page.
That's in the recovery conference?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Your big memo is the third page.
Okay.
You can continue. It's not distracting. Go ahead.
As you can see, all the properties as of June 30th were fully occupied, 100%. It was really good for the month. With the Section 8 department, we have entered into payment plans with landlords and also tenants. They either didn't report income or the landlord didn't report changes in their leases. So we're collecting back that money from them. And right now we have a payment plan in the amount of $34,000. With landlords and tenants. So we're collecting that money monthly, and the staff is doing pretty good collecting that money. Actually, I'm afraid of one of the ladies over there, but they're doing a good job with that. And I think that's it for the housing report. Do you have any questions?
Our resolution that we have tonight falls under housing. Do you want to address it now?
I'm sorry.
Our resolution falls under the housing, the Section 8. Does he want to address it now?
Okay. Yes, we may, sir. I'm sorry. I was distracted from the resolution. Basically, again, with the Westlake One, in order to make the first phase viable because of the 4% bond, we had to be creative with how we provided some financial assistance. And one of the ways to do that was to provide the product-based voucher because these are going to be for seniors who have limited income and the like. And so we need to have some type of subsidized rent. And developers love project-based vouchers because it's guaranteed rent that stays with the unit. And there's 80 vouchers that were basically went through a public procurement. It was reviewed by the City of Lakeland. It recommended the award. of the vouchers to the project, and then that recommendation had to be approved by the HUD field office, which it was, and then the next step is to do what they call the subsidy land review process, which is where HUD makes sure that there is enough subsidy for the project and the like, and that has to go to HUD headquarters in Washington, D.C. And one of the, you have a checklist of items that are required, and one is approval from the housing authority of the provision of subsidy to that particular project. And that, the provision of subsidy is evidenced by a resolution from the board. And that's all y'all being presented with that resolution for your approval.
Okay.
Any
questions for him in regards to this resolution?
Can I ask a question not about the resolution, but on the repayment agreements for unreported income? How do you determine unreported income?
Basically, we have a system that was created by HUD in the late 80s. Any information from Social Security or the IRS goes into that system. So we check the system every month, and the system flags residents or participants if, let's say, they reported that they're making $10,000 per year, and the system is saying no. Their taxes is saying they make $15,000. You better call the residents and see what happened. So most of the time, what happened is the residents, sometimes they forgot to, because they have 10 days from the time their income changes to report the changes. If they don't do it within 10 days, then it's considered fraud. So then we go from there.
Okay, thank you.
Good. Any questions in regards to the resolution? Okay. Do you guys want to vote on the resolution now? Since
we talked about it. Yeah. I mean, it's fresh.
You have
a. Don't let me think of a question. So we're not there now. Back
out. You have a motion to accept resolution 17-1444.
I make a motion that resolution number 17-1444 be approved.
Second. We got a first and a second. Roll call.
Commissioner Pimentel.
Aye.
Commissioner Richardson.
Aye.
Commissioner Hall.
Aye.
Commissioner DeCessari.
Aye.
Commissioner Sanders.
She's in the restroom.
She's in the restroom.
Commissioner Robinson.
Aye.
And Commissioner Hasbey.
Aye.
Okay, resolution 17-1444 passes. Okay.
Let me ask you a question. I understand it passed in there, all that's good. When you say fraud, is that police fraud? Is that
fraud? It's all depending. We have amounts, like anything over $5,000, we're supposed to report them to the OIG. But right now, the OIG is not taking anything under $10,000. So what we do, we send the rest. If they want to enter into a repayment agreement, we allow them to stay in the program. Mm-hmm. If they refuse or they don't pay what they agreed to pay, then we either terminate them or we send them to the OIG and ask the OIG to look into that particular case, depending on how brave the fault was. Sometimes it's not their fault, the resident, the participants.
Right.
Mm-hmm. They may have for, you know, because they have a busy life, and, you know, if you have three or four kids and you don't have a husband or wife, then, you know, so we understand those cases.
Okay.
So depending, case by case.
Okay, so the OIG is not the LPA, FPD?
No.
Yeah. And as long as they make a good faith effort to comply, we'll work with them.
Mm-hmm. In your board package, you're going to find the 2018 draft agency plan. You can.
Is that the full plan or just the change?
It's the full agency plan with the changes.
Okay.
For the. But the A Club, which is the public housing plan and the admin plan for the Section A, is not here because it's about 600 pages. Remember, the few years ago I gave you the book. Yeah. I didn't do that because it's only one change in those two plans. And the change is...
Excuse me, Carlos. I'm going to ask for if you would like a copy. We can put one on a CD for you.
Oh, okay. Okay.
You don't have one?
No, I do. I was explaining to how big it was.
Yeah, we ran out of trees, I think.
Yeah. It really is about that big. But we can put it on a CD if you like. And run it to you. I'll give it to you at the next meeting, whatever you prefer.
But there's only one change in those two big books from last year, and it's related to domestic violence. Now, before, under domestic violence, you were able to start eviction on both the victim and the... Yeah. So now you can actually allow the victim to stay in the unit and start eviction on the... So that's the only change. Everything else is in this document here. Basically, here you're going to find how much money in subsidy we're expecting to receive next year, which we don't know. Right now, public housing is operating under a 77% reduction in funding, which is really killing us slowly, but we're managing to do everything that we're supposed to do. Thanks to some savings that we had from years before. Section A is operating under a 92%, but Section A is more critical. And thanks God we have some savings too that we're using. And the saving is kept by HUD over there, so they're slowly giving out that saving. And you're gonna see that in the financial report. And that's it. If you have any questions or comments or you want to add anything to the agency plan for the next 3 months, I will be taking notes and emails. You can email me any suggestion. Can be a resident program. It can be anything that you want to recommend to the executive director for us to do for the residents and the participants. So that's it.
Okay, admin.
As I said earlier, Valerie is out due to a family situation, and so Carlos will handle her report, the financials.
It's gonna be shorter. I promise.
You got a good Commissioner Asbury and a full Monty on this one. She's gonna enjoy every minute of it.
COCC, the Central Office Cost Center, net operating income is a negative $10,000 for the period, but year to date.
So before you get started, I'm going to hold on to the train of thought. The first couple of pages is kind of like a summary of each of the reports. The report contains the financial report for each property. And then these notes here address like a little summary of things to point out to you as you read the financials.
Good. So the COCC, which is the central office or the main office, for the month has a negative $10,899. But year to date, we have cash flow of $51,028. The reason for the $10,899 is because we had to pay insurances and consultants and different things that we were not expecting to hit all at once. But because we had the savings for the year, we were able to do that. With the Section A voucher, the admin for the month has a negative $22,000. For the year, it's $149,000. However, we're still using the savings that we have in the HUD section. So What happened is every month they calculate how much money we're getting for admin costs and also for to pay for the vouchers. And it, as long as we have savings, they're always going to take money back. So they're not going to give us everything every month because we have savings. So that's a good thing and a bad thing. It's a good thing that we're saving money, but it's a bad thing because then they give the money to other house entities.
And they have heard.
Public housing has a cash flow of $82,268. Dakota Park has a cash flow for the period of $5,747, but year to date $109. As you remember, Dakota is one of the properties that never cash flow, but last month, for some reason, HUD sent extra money for that property, so we were able to do more stuff for the property.
Yeah. And that's what he said, like each month HUD sends us subsidy, you know, for the property, so like there was a public housing property. The difference in rent, you know, like the rent, say $500, we're going to pay, like say $30. That was in the $470 in subsidy. And so that's reevaluated on a monthly basis by HUD. They send us based upon what they think that I need.
Well, 2017 has been challenging because the subsidy goes down all up, or you know, it's been difficult to forecast anything. Renaissance at Washington Bridge, they have an NOI of $86,000. Colton Metal, Bonnyshore, West Barto, they're all doing great. Hampton Hills also have an NOI. As you remember, Hampton Hills didn't receive subsidy for 1 year, and we just started getting subsidy for that property. So that's a win-win situation. Juveville, the NOI is negative for the period and year to date, and that doesn't mean that the program is losing money. It's just the timing of collecting the funding and then spending the funding. It is different for that program because it's under the Department of Labor. So we have to document everything before we get the. It's like a refund program. It's not you get the money and then you spend it. So it's always going to be on a negative trend. So, but overall, all the programs are doing great financially, despite all the cuts and all the reduction from the different agencies. And basically, we don't know what's going to happen with Congress and the president. So let's see what happens. Thank you.
I think in all fairness to Commissioner Asbury, I know he went through that pretty quick, but if you look at the bottom of each one, she gives it a really a good.
Oh, the exception.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, next month, Valerie is going to be more detailed. I'm not.
If you're trying to follow it, just pick up down the bottom. She makes a summary sheet for you, yeah. But it's more detailed at the bottom of each sheet. So.
You don't want to do it all the time, Carlos? You don't want to do it all the time?
No. Oh, no. I'm not a good public speaker.
Okay. Any questions, comments?
Where's the
one?
The grant report.
That should be the last.
I know it's there, but don't skip over it. Because there's a couple of them that we need to pay attention to. We picked that up in the recovery meeting. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The grant report is at the end.
It's the last page of the financial.
The last page.
It looks like that.
The very last page.
The last page says grant report at the top.
And basically on the grant report.
Exit resolution page.
The grant report detail funding that we receive from HUD and Juveville and other sources. The first one is capital funds. Basically, that's the money that we use to replace roof appliances, flooring, carpet.
Maintenance upkeep for the property.
Big items. Anything over $5,000, we'll use that money.
Yeah. And it can only be used on the public housing properties. We can't use it on the tax credit properties.
The replacement housing factor is money that we receive from HUD. Every time that you demolish a property, they assign money back to the housing authority so you can develop more units. So basically, if you demolish one unit, they give you what they, based on their calculation, enough money to build one more unit, which is not real, but we try.
Yeah, and also sweep the colors. And just so you know, like each of these grants, you usually get about 5 years to spend the money, but you have to present a plan to HUD on how you're going to spend the money. And you have to update that plan each year. And that's part of that agency plan that we submit to HUD, a five-year plan. And then you see the obligation end date and then the distribution date. Maybe you have to put the funds under contract on some project. And then you have this date to basically spend the money. And you can get extensions, but no more than, I think it's like 5 years. That's the maximum amount of time you can get it extended. And then, so the one you want to look at is like September 8th under the CFP, the CFP 2013, you'll see that distribution date is September 8th. And we'll dispense that on the Williamstown project because it's under construction. So we will meet that deadline, obviously deadline. And the Williamstown project is going to help us to meet a lot of these upcoming deadlines on the CFP and RHF. And then also the Hope 6, believe it or not, that's a 20-year-old grant, okay? And had $1.9 million left over from that, from those 20 years ago. Mr. Robbins didn't spend enough money back then. And that's also going to be obligated with the Williamstown project, you know, during the construction and the like. And so, you know, we're good because it's under contract, it's obligated to a project, so we won't lose the money.
Okay.
That's part of making.
Okay. And Mr. Stevenson said we have obligation days and also we have due dates in to spend the money. So we have to keep track of everything. Most of the CFP right now, we're using the funding in CISO Gover. When I came here in 2011, all 37 units, elderly, they didn't have AC units. So we installed central AC in all the units. Right now, we're replacing floors, kitchen cabinets, bathroom cabinets, and flooring and floors. So we're using that money there. The next step is going to be to finish with that property. It's going to be the outside. We have to replace the sidewalks and make them meet the 504 and the ADA. And also, they're going to receive a full landscape. After we're done with that, then we move to the next property. Westlake was on the plans with the CFP, but now that we're demolishing the property and it's going to be replaced with new units, we're not spending the funding here. We're spending in other properties that are not going to be demolished. With the family self-sufficiency and Ross, coordinator, those grants are for salaries only. So any expenses or any programs that the coordinators want to do, the money comes from the properties or the public housing. So if they want to buy anything for the residents or sponsor a trip on activity, the property actually sponsored that. The grant doesn't allow them to spend the money on stuff.
And so we also have some partners that provide some services as well.
And the reason for that is because HUD, many years ago, they instructed housing authorities not to get into the resident services business because for them, the housing business is what they're supposed to do. So Hudson Utilities have to find ways to provide resident activities and better the resident opportunities. So we're trying to do that. Youth Bill is one of those programs. And 21st Century, that's gone. So.
Okay. Out of the Department of Education. And that one was a money grant on the Housing Authority. So the Department of Education required leverage funds, and then they were very slow to reimburse because, like most government entities, like they submit a $90,000 invoice and say they can only approve, say, $40,000 because that question was $50,000. Most government entities would give you that $40,000 and say you need to fix this $50,000. Department of Education was like, we're not giving you anything to fix everything. And so that's why we didn't pursue that anymore because it was just a financial drain on the Housing Authority.
So the only one that we have to be cautious of is that $7,383.42 that hasn't been dispersed. That's got to go by September. September the 8th.
The CFP.
Yeah,
and like I said, that's probably.
Is that going to be spent?
Yeah, I think it's going to be covered in the draw 2, 3, or 4, and we submitted draw 3 last week, and then the fourth one this week. So those should be. So next month we should.
That should show zero.
Oh, the CFP.
Yeah, CFP.
Oh, that money is already spent on CISOCO. We just need to pay that one.
The well, that was the CISOCO.
So $7,000 is already spent.
Yeah,
took care of.
Okay. All right. We don't like to leave any money on the table.
No,
we did that before. We don't.
Yeah, we left too much on the table before.
Yeah, this is an early reserve.
Okay.
Okay. Now we're up to legal report. Submitted as written. Thank you.
I'm good with that. And just so you know, Commissioner Asbury, Rick is going to pay per word. That's why he talked to
you. See, I made my money at the beginning of the meeting. I'm good.
He's good? Okay.
Everything all right?
Anything else? We're up to other business. Anything else? Okay.
His pocket's body.
Okay.
Then. I can see it from
the This is my fault.
No, it's not true.
I'm just kidding. With him. He's got a Yugo, so he likes to keep an eye on it.
Oh, no, he didn't.
Oh, boy.
All right. Then before we adjourn, he came in and said it was too cold in here when he came
in. Too hot.
You see what happened? Dude. Thank you.
They sort of won. Yes, they were good when we came in. Now I was like,
you see
what?
I move we adjourned. Everyone have a great day. You see, you changed stuff.
Baby, yeah.
He came in. It's cold in here. You heard that, right?
Was it cold?
No.
It wasn't very nice car. I was teasing.
It's cold in here.
You see?
Isn't that what your mom told you?
Oh,
shell.
I didn't know if she actually saw
it. Oh, that's what I'm going to finish.
That's
hey, y'all
hold
on. Oh, what
happened? Shh. Child. Yeah. Just need to see if we need to request a special meeting for the agency plan. So we may have to reopen the meeting.
Wasn't there something already? July 24th? It was that year.
That's
when did you do?
October. Okay. I unclosed
the
meeting.
Okay.
We don't think we need.
Hey.
Do we need it?
Oh, I see. He said it.
Okay.
It is on.
We're good. Also, he's a good ball game. So we're
good.
Okay.
Good. Have a good night, Mr. GQ.
Brittany, do you have any envelopes?
Yes, sir.
Thank you, ma'am.
course, I'll take the package. They slide all over my car seat.
What, your papers?
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah. That's right. Yeah. 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 Yeah.
Yes, sir.